Several years ago, Sherry and I were invited by a Sunday school class to attend their Christmas party, hosted at a home. As we stepped outside and we were saying our goodbyes and goodnights, one couple said, "Hey, Mike, can we ask you a question? We don't want to keep you, but we didn't want to say anything inside." They're a great couple, and I wanted to help them in any way I could. I said, "Sure." They said, "You're going to think this is silly. We love Christmas, but, well, we have one in our home who is unhappy with what we give every year, always wanting what the others have or what we didn't give. We've tried talking about it. There's no tantrum. We think it's a phase, but it bothers us." I could see they were trying to protect the identity of the one and their family, so I said, "Is this one unhappy the whole season?" And they looked at each other and they said, "No, no, just Christmas morning and whenever we exchange gifts with our families. Otherwise, happy and excited the whole time." Let's face it. In our society, Christmas has largely become all about the gifts. It's not that we're more selfish or greedy, I don't think, this time of the year. It's just that Christmas time seems to heighten those impulses. So we give a lot of time and thought and effort and energy to do so. We save all year to make the smartest, best decisions. But our minds and our lives are in such overdrive that we end up simply giving lip service to the thing that we're really supposed to be celebrating: the birth and the coming of our Lord and Savior, and who He really is in our lives today. And I have to wonder, does our Christmas make God jealous? You know, when we think about the attributes of God, we think about words like loving and merciful and kind and forgiver. Our Advent study here has caused us to look at God in some different ways, maybe some new ways. God as expectant, God as dangerous, and this week as jealous. So I said to the couple, I said, "Try this. Get a cake. And after supper one night, in your most loving and easy and firm way, say very simply, 'Happy birthday, Jesus. This is your birthday. This is not our birthday.' And say to your kids as directly and as tenderly as you can, 'We give presents to one another, but it's not my birthday or our birthday or your birthday. This is Jesus' birthday.'" And I said, "Let me know how it goes, whether you take this idea or not." You know, the great thing about serving God is that God is an equal opportunity God. It's through our faith in Jesus Christ, God offers every person the same love, the same grace and salvation, so there's no reason for us to ever to be jealous about how God treats each of us. And the truth is that God is not jealous of us the way that we are jealous of one another. I heard a joke about a wife who approached a man in a large supermarket. She walked over to him and said, "I've lost my husband here in the supermarket, and I can't find him. Can you talk with me for just a minute?" He said, "Why?" He said, "Because every time I talk with a handsome man, my husband appears out of nowhere." God is not jealous of us. God's jealous for us. God's jealous for you. For your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength. God is jealous in a good way. God is jealous for a relationship with you. I like to think that God is so committed to each person that Christmas is evidence of God's commitment to us. That the Almighty God loves us and treasures us so much that He sent us His only Son. How open are we this morning to put God first? To go where the Holy Spirit is leading? I mean, most of us are not going to find ourselves standing up for God or ending up in prison somewhere because of our faith or even giving our life for someone else. But we all have some action that we can take to give God first place. Maybe it's putting off apathy and putting on action. Maybe it's in how we talk with one another. Maybe it's how we think, especially how we think about people we don't even know. And when you see a person you don't know, are you skeptical and fearful? Or do you say, there's a person for whom Christ died? What's your go-to mindset? You see, God is jealous for us in a good way. The Lord cares how we use our hearts. He cares about what we put into our minds. He cares about what we eat and how we treat our bodies. And He cares about what we store in our soul. There's a second thing that God is jealous for. The book of Exodus tells us that God is jealous for His name. God is jealous for His name. He guards His name's significance, His character, His nature, and uniqueness as the only true God. That's what we heard in the scripture this morning. And God will not allow it to be profaned by idolatry or by any other misuse. Israel found that out firsthand. So that in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus so that we would know who God is and what kind of God. Here's a third thing. Christ is jealous for His church. The Bible, as you know, describes the church in a number of different ways: as the body, as the branches, as a family, and in other ways. And we sing the hymn, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. And with His own blood He bought her. And for her life He died." And to this very day, to this very moment, Jesus fights for our heart. Not in a doubting way, not in a skeptical way like we humans do. Okay, earlier I told one on us guys. I got that. Now I'm going to tell one on the ladies, okay? Hey, this is an equal opportunity message, okay? I heard a joke about a husband who called up his wife and left a message. He called up and said, "Hey, hon, just wanted to call. I'll tell you that I'm in the hospital here. I got my leg injured at work, but they've got the bleeding stopped now. It's a lot of stitches. And they're doing a lot of tests right now. Gloria brought me here. Doctors say the next few hours are going to tell the tale. I better hang up. I'm feeling faint." The wife arrives and says, "Who's Gloria?" Fighting to be number one, right, in the heart. So what I want to say this morning is that Christ is jealous for you. And it's a love that's powerful beyond all words. It means that the Lord really cares for you. And it has the weight of the heavens and the earth and the force of eternity behind it. The family tried the birthday cake idea. And they rehearsed what they wanted to say. They said their kids at first seemed put off by it, but came to understand what they were trying to say. And they reinforced that by including something about Jesus' birthday in the cards that they mailed out to family and friends. And they also reinforced the message that it's not just about us. So we're choosing to help others in this Christmas season. The mom and dad came back to me and they said what was hard was not adjusting our children's mindset, but adjusting ours. Because we realized we were caught up in it too. For them, it was the difference between making one kind of memory versus making a family. From making Christmas memories to making Christians. Let's think about these things for a moment. I've included in the bulletin this morning some things for reflection. If you want to turn to that now, I invite you to make this a part of your reflection later today and this week as you have your devotions, whether by yourself or with your family. How does it make you feel to know that God is jealous for your heart? Have you ever really thought about that before? And do you feel God speaking to you about any areas where you might have put something or someone ahead of Him? And how could putting God in first place this Advent change you? How could it change your family and the way that you celebrate the season? And take a moment and just imagine that the most precious person in your life feels distant from you. What would you do to rectify that situation? And imagine that for Christmas 2019, imagine that everybody here at Bethany is invited to put Jesus first in our hearts and our giving. Let's call it First Gift to Jesus. Okay? Who or what cause do you think might be a recipient? Where could we as a church make the most significant impact? And what do you think is a faith-filled amount that we could raise if we were to give our first gift to Jesus? Think about these things.